As Josh said in the video announcements, my name is Brian Dimbath, and I'm the Connection Minister here at the church. And I know we've been here a little over a year now, and I know there's still some people that ask, what exactly does a Connection Minister do? We're not exactly sure. And I know if you ask Warren what I do, Warren would tell you that I'm responsible for connecting all of these chairs together in this room. But that does not take me all week to do that. There's actually other things that I do during the week. But one of the biggest things that I do is I'm responsible for connecting people to the church. So connecting people to small groups, pointing to classes, serving opportunities, baptism, membership, those sorts of things. But that's not even the biggest part of what I do. I think the most important thing that I do, along with the rest of the staff and leadership of the church, is connecting people in their relationship with God. All of the things that I oversee and do are to point people and connect them into a relationship with God, to help people grow as a disciple of Jesus. And this is what I love to do. It's what I'm passionate about. It's what fuels me, what makes me excited. And I love being able to do that. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, taking a look at our lives and discovering ways that we can grow as a disciple of Jesus. My wife Kelly and I, we have three kids. And our two oldest kids love being outside. Our youngest, he's only 6 months old, so he's happy wherever we put him. So I'm sure he'll like it one day, but right now he's cool with wherever. But our oldest two, Madison and Braden, they love being outside. They love being outside so much that they would live out. They have actually asked if they could sleep outside. No tent, nothing. They just want to sleep outside. They would live out there. There's been moments and days where we've wanted to make that happen. But so far, we haven't. We let them back inside every night and let them sleep in their bed. But they would do that if they could. Now that it's summer, they love playing in the pool. We have one of these little kiddie plastic pool things that you can buy from Walmart. Nothing fancy, nothing big. But as far as our kids are concerned, that's the biggest pool that we're allowed to have in Worthington. So unless they find out otherwise, they're happy with it. But they'll get in the pool, they'll splash around. My son Braden, his biggest thing right now is to see how much water he can displace from the pool. We'll fill it with water and he wants to see how much he can get out. It started when he was younger, he would splash around a little bit, see how much water he could get out. It went from splashing to sloshing, trying to get as much water out of the pool. Recently though, he's found this little green plastic watering can that we had in the garage. He found it. So he'd go into the pool, he'd fill up that watering can, and he'd pour it out. He'd fill it up, and he'd pour it out. One day this week, I had the sprinkler going in the backyard. They were playing in the sprinkler. One of those little, like, one of those types of sprinklers where you kind of have to chase it to get wet. And he had this watering can. He was chasing the sprinkler along, trying to get water in it. He'd get a little bit of water in it, and he'd pour it out. He'd fill it up, he'd pour it out. Over and over and over, he would fill up this watering can with water, and he would pour all of the water out of it. And I said, Braden, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm pouring it out, Dad. So, I get that, but why are you pouring it out? Why do you keep doing this? And he goes, Dad, that's just what it does. Almost kind of like, you moron. You should know this is what it is. The whole purpose of a watering can is to be filled up so that it can be poured out. You fill it with water and you pour the water out. There's an inflow of water, there's an outflow of water. It's just what it does. And as you look through Scripture, there's kind of this similar rhythm that we see to the lives of those that are following Jesus, to the lives of disciples. It's this rhythm of inflow and outflow, of being filled up and pouring out. This idea, you could say that it's bringing good things into your life and allowing good things to flow from your life. But so many times as Christians, we can focus just on one part of that rhythm. We can focus primarily and solely on the inflow, on the filling up. And for many people, a life with God, it would consist of things like attending church, listening to sermons, praying, maybe you go to a small group or a class, maybe you take time and you read your Bible during the week and you do these things. And now, don't get me wrong, these are good things. But even though these are good things, and through them you can receive so many great benefits from doing them, your life can still feel a little sluggish. It can still feel stale, almost like there's something missing. You kind of think, oh, I think I'm doing the right things. It seems like I'm doing all of the right pieces, but there's still just something missing in life. And I've heard people say this. Sometimes people say they come to church on Sunday, they'll listen to a message, they'll participate in worship in an attempt to top off their spiritual tank, hopefully to last them until the next Sunday. But what happens? You come to church on Sunday, you attempt to get full, and then a couple days later, the tank starts running low a little bit. And so it's a good thing it's small group night. So you go to your small group, you get filled back up a little bit, not quite full, but you get filled back up a little bit, maybe last you another day, maybe a day and a half, somewhere in there. And then the tank is kind of running low again. So you pray, say, God, give me strength, give me energy, just to make it through to another Sunday so I can get filled back up. But then the tank starts running low again. And then after a busy weekend full of activities, full of things going on, you drag yourself back into church on Sunday, running on fumes, hoping that this week's message, that the worship, will be enough to fill you back up to last until the next Sunday. And a lot of times, that's kind of how we operate. But there's a flaw in that thinking. Again, I'm not saying that attending church, that worshiping, small groups, prayer, that they're bad things. In fact, they are great things. They are essential things in our pursuit to becoming like Jesus. But if that's all we're doing, if all we're doing is simply filling up, then we're missing something. There's a piece that's missing. You see, the rhythm of being a disciple of Jesus is filling up and pouring out. If all you're doing is filling up, you're not in a rhythm, you're in a rut. See, being in a rut means that we are where it's comfortable, that we've traveled this road that we're on in the same place for so long that it's all we know. We may try and get out of that rut at points in our life, but sometimes it proves too difficult. It's going to take too much energy and effort. It's going to require too much change in my life. So what do? We fall back into the rut where we're comfortable, and we simply go with what we've always done and what we always know. But when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus, we're choosing to get out of the rut, to begin living our life in this inflow, outflow rhythm that we see in Scripture. Because being a disciple of Jesus is about being both filled up and pouring out. As you read through the New Testament, you see this inflow, outflow rhythm all throughout Scripture. And we're going to go through just a few passages of Scripture together this morning. We're going to go through them pretty quick. So unless you won like the sword drill in Sunday school growing up, you probably won't have time to flip to them fast enough. They'll be on the screen. I would encourage you, write them down and look them up, read them on your own later. But we're going to go through them together this morning. The first one is in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now, there's two very important words in this passage. It's full of important words, but there's two that I want to pull out. The first, the two words are "so that." So that. It says that God, the God of hope, will fill you with joy and peace so that you can overflow hope to other people. You are filled so that you can pour out. You're not filled so that you'll feel better about yourself. You're not filled so that you'll make it through to the next week. No, you are filled so that you can pour out to other people. It's like Braden's watering can. It's just what we do. That's the way we were created. That's why we are here is to be filled so that we can be poured out. In Acts chapter 4, we read about an encounter with a group of believers that were together listening to Peter and John teach and talk to them. And in verse 24, it says that all of the believers lifted their voices together in prayer, asking God to give them boldness to perform signs and wonders. And then in verse 31, it says, "After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness." The word "then" is like "so that." They were filled with the Holy Spirit so that they could go out and preach in boldness. They were filled so that they could be poured out. In Colossians 1, verses 9 through 10, Paul is praying for the church. And he says, since the day we've heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. You see, they were filled so that they could be poured out. They were filled so that they could live a life worthy of the Lord and doing what would come natural, that they would be poured out. They would bear fruit in every good work. Now, if you look specifically at the life of Jesus, you'll see Jesus practice this same inflow, outflow rhythm in his life as well. We see Jesus practice this rhythm of taking time away from the crowds to be filled up so that he could go out and do ministry. He could serve. He could do what he came to do. Several months ago, the last time I was up here and spoke, I talked about a similar rhythm in our life and used words like we would rest so that we could work. We would abide so that we could bear fruit. And this is what we see in Jesus' life. He's taking time away. He's resting. He's abiding in the Father so that he can go and do ministry. He can do the work that he was created to do. He can bear fruit by pouring out. In Matthew chapter 14 and verses 13 through 32, we see this rhythm, this inflow, outflow rhythm in Jesus' life. And what's interesting is we see it kind of cycle through a couple times. In verses 13 and 14, it says, when Jesus heard what had happened was that John the Baptist, his friend, his partner in ministry, had been killed. He was beheaded. So it says, when Jesus found out what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. See, Jesus got some bad news about his friend. And I think he went away to a solitary place by himself, I think, to grieve. I mean, the Bible tells us that Jesus was fully human like us, so he experienced all of the same emotions and feelings that we have. So I think part of him getting away was simply to grieve the loss of his friend. But I think also he was getting away to be filled, to grieve the loss, but also to be filled by his Father, because he knew as soon as he landed on shore that there would be people there waiting on him. Everywhere he went, there were people waiting on him. So he knew that there would be people there waiting on him. So because he took time to get away, to be filled by God, as soon as he landed on shore, he was able to step off the boat and begin doing ministry. He began healing the sick, taking care of people. And then we go on, you read through verses 15 through 21, you read that the crowds that were gathered there, the Bible tells us, were 5,000 men plus all of the women and children, so there were well over 5,000 people that were gathered there. They got hungry, and they needed something to eat. The closest McDonald's was far, far, far away. They couldn't just run somewhere and get something and come back. There was nothing there. And so after Jesus heals all of the sick, he performs this miracle by taking five loaves of bread, two fish, and multiplying it to feed all of these people. And so what we see is we see Jesus getting away, filling himself up so that he could be poured out, so that he could heal the sick, so that he could feed the 5,000 people that were there. And then we go on to verses 22 through 23, and we see this rhythm repeat itself. Verse 22, it says, immediately after he did all this, immediately Jesus made the disciples get in the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. You go on to read the rest of this story, the rest of Matthew 14, and you read that after Jesus went off by himself and spent time praying, spent time filling up, that he went back out to his disciples who were out on a boat in the middle of a storm. He walked on the water. He calmed the storm, teaching his disciples this incredible lesson about faith and trust in him. So we see Jesus go away and pray, be filled up by his Father, to go out and heal the sick and feed the 5,000. Then he does it again. He goes away by himself, spending time with his Father, filling up so that he could go back out and teach his disciples about faith. Another example in Mark 1, verses 35 through 39, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. When they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else, to nearby villages, so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. What I think is interesting is before Jesus goes out and does what God commanded him to do, he took time to be filled. He took time to get away early in the morning, before all the distractions, before the busyness of life set in, before the people came looking for him, and he gets away to pray to be filled. So it's clear as we look at scriptures, we look at the life of Jesus, that it's important to have this inflow, outflow rhythm in our life. There's a couple verses in John where Jesus himself, he tells us the importance of this, the benefit of doing this. In John 7, 37 through 38, Jesus tells us, he says, "Let anyone who is thirsty," which means anybody who needs to be filled, "let anybody who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." When we do what the Bible tells us to do, when we fill ourselves with the truth of God's word, when we believe that Jesus is who he says he is, according to what we see in Scripture, when we do what we're commanded to do, according to what we see in Scripture, as we do as Scripture has said, that we can have living water not only living inside of us, but also to be flowing out of us. And you see, Jesus is very clear on that. It's not that so you will have living water staying inside of you. No, he says you will have living water that will flow from you. We are filled so that we can be poured out. Here's an important thing for us to remember this morning. The amount of inflow and outflow you have will determine the way that you live. Not the amount of inflow and out, and, you know, the amount by which I'm filled or the amount by which I pour out will kind of influence or have somewhat of an effect on how I live. No, it's the amount by which you are filled and the amount by which you are poured out will determine your life. It will determine how you live. I don't know about anybody else in the room. I'm a visual learner. I like pictures to help me kind of solidify things in my brain. So I have a chart. I have a picture that hopefully will help us understand how this works. And so what we have on this chart, we have a horizontal and vertical axis. All right, it feels like we're going back to math class here. Makes me shudder just to think about it a little bit. But what we have on the vertical line, the up and down, just to be clear, we have a strong inflow, and on the bottom, we have a low inflow. On the horizontal line, the left and right, we have a low outflow and a strong outflow. So depending on the amount of inflow and outflow you have will determine where you fall on this chart. Now, before we go any further with this, I want to kind of pause, take a time out here for a second, and make sure we clearly understand what we're talking about when we say inflow and outflow. Been using a couple words interchangeably. Just want to make sure that we understand what we're talking about. Inflow are the things that fill us up spiritually. Things that help us understand who God is and what he wants for our lives. Things like reading, studying scripture, prayer, listening to God, listening to Holy Spirit, listening to messages, listening to sermons, actively participating in your small group or class. Things, and the list can go on and on and on. These are the things that fill us up spiritually so we know and understand who God is and what he's calling us to be. The outflow is simply the byproduct. It's the byproduct of a correct understanding of who God is and what he wants for us. You see, when we have a correct understanding of what we are being filled with, it will produce transformation in our lives that will help us to become more like Jesus and to do more of the things that Jesus has called us to do. But when we have an incorrect understanding, when maybe we're just filling, but we're not putting everything into practice, we don't fully understand what God is calling us to do, we can have a flawed sense of maybe success or feeling that we're doing the right thing. So it's important that it is correct and that we're applying it in the right way. So with that understanding of inflow and outflow, let's go back to this chart and see how all of this works out. So when you have a strong inflow and you have a low outflow, what happens is your life will swell up. Okay, so you have, this is the strong inflow, this is a low outflow. When that happens, your life will swell up. Now, I realize there's probably a small chance here that when you hear your life will swell up, you could take that as a positive thing. Let me be very clear. This is not a positive thing when your life swells up. Think of it more in terms of being bloated, being stagnant, being stale. See, even when all of the inflow, even when they're good things, when it's only coming in and very little, if anything, is going out, you just become bloated. You just get more full, more full, more full, and before you know it, there's bloated and you're stagnant and stale. There's water inside of you, but instead of that water flowing out of you, it is just sitting still. Still water will become stagnant water, and stagnant water is not a good thing because stagnant water is a breeding ground for mosquitoes. And as we know, mosquitoes can carry all sorts of potentially deadly diseases. Stagnant water will promote growth of mold and mildew. Even though the water is essential for your life, you cannot drink stagnant water because stagnant water is full of bacteria and other parasites, and it's an incubator for that, and it will just continue to spread and grow and become infected. So it's not a good thing to only fill up and never pour out because it will lead to swelling up. Let's take a look at the next one. When you have a low inflow and a low outflow, your life will dry up. Over time, you will slowly dry up. A couple weeks ago, I filled a glass with water and I just set it in my office. Here's a picture of the glass of water that I filled up, set it in my office, took a picture of it, was made fun of and ridiculed for having a glass of water in my office that I wasn't drinking. They're like, what are you doing? So I'm doing an experiment. I wanted to see what would happen if I initially filled up this glass of water, but I did nothing else to it. I didn't pour anything else out of it. I didn't fill it up with anything else. I just set it there, let it sit. Wanted to see what would happen. Here's the after picture. This is 2 weeks later. I took this picture on Thursday. And I went up and looked at my glass of water this morning. It's actually lower than it is here in this picture. But you can see in the span of 2 weeks, the glass of water is slowly drying out. If you look closely at the picture, you can see kind of the scuzz, the film, the ring on the glass of where the water line used to be. Kind of each day you can progress. It's drying out a little bit. It's really hard to tell in this picture, but if you look at the actual glass of water, it's starting to get a little bit cloudy. There's like this layer of something on the top. But it's just slowly drying up. And this is usually what happens in our life. We stop filling up, we stop pouring out, and over time, our life dries up. And a lot of times we may not realize it. We don't realize that's what's happening. And sometimes you can have one of those moments where you're going through life and all of a sudden you get to that point and you're like, wait a minute, what? How did I get where I am? Why am I so dry and crusty all of a sudden? I don't understand what's going on. Well, what's happened is over a period of time of not filling, having a low inflow and a low outflow, you're slowly drying up. You're not filling up. You're not pouring out. And eventually you become like a dry desert, where nothing is happening and everything is dead. So that's what happens when you have a low inflow and a low outflow. Let's see what happens when you have a strong outflow but a low inflow. What happens when you have a strong outflow and a low inflow is that your life will actually trickle out. Your life will trickle out. You're trying, you are eager to do all of the things. You're trying to serve people. You're trying to give to people. You're pouring out to people left and right. But you're not taking the appropriate time to be sure you're filling up. And so you haven't you haven't put enough time in to prepare. You haven't put enough time in to listen to exactly what it is that God wants you to do. You may be doing really good things, but is it what God wants you to do? There may be some prayers along the way, maybe a little reading along the way when there was time, but you never truly filled up spiritually. And you're constantly running on fumes because you're always pouring out more than you're filling up. You become exhausted. You feel like you could faint at any minute. Burnout is just around the corner. You look active. You look like you're doing the right things. But what you're giving others is not abundant life. It's not a healthy life, because the lack of an inflow from God, you eventually become a provider. But what you're providing starts to come more and more from yourself, from your own strength, from your own power, because you're not filling up on Him. And it becomes more and more from you and less of the life that God wants to give. So when you have a strong outflow but a low inflow, you simply just kind of trickle. But what happens when you have a strong inflow and a strong outflow? You are being filled and you are pouring out. What happens is that your life will spring up. Your life springs up. We become a fountain of living water, like we read about in John 4:37, that living water will flow out of you. It flows easily. It flows naturally to the people around us. We are receiving and we are giving. We're being filled. We're passing it on. We're investing. We're reaping. We're being blessed so that we can bless others. This is the healthy inflow, outflow rhythm of life that we're supposed to have. Because when we live like this, we actually become partners with God. We get to be partners with God, doing the things that He wants us to do, doing the things that we see Jesus doing, because God is alive and He is active in us and through us. So as you look at this chart, as you look at these four areas, four ways of living life, as you look at your life and where you are today, where do you tend to hang out on that chart? Are you swelling up? Are you drying out? Are you simply just trickling out? Or are you springing up? My guess is that most of us are not springing up. Granted, I'm sure there are some that are. They are being filled. They are pouring out. I mean, they're rocking it, knocking it out. Sometimes what happens is you can have that season in your life of springing up, and then you get confident. You start to relax a little bit. And then your life kind of moves away from springing up to one of the other three. But probably most of us in the room are one of the other three, swelling up, drying out, or trickling out. So the questions become, one, what is keeping you from having a strong inflow, from being filled up on a regular basis? What is it that's keeping you from having a strong outflow, pouring out, doing the things that God has created you to do? For a lot of us, sometimes it's just internal things, things like stress, fear, doubt, things like that will keep you from being a spring of living water. Sometimes it's external things. Could be work, could be family, ball games, schedules, whatever it is that keep you from being filled up and pouring out on a regular basis. And the thing is, it's going to be different for everybody. The answer is different for everyone, depending on where you fall on that chart. Many of us have just let life distract us. It's distracted you from having this inflow-outflow rhythm of life. The schedules have gotten so busy with things that you don't have time left over at the end of the day to fill up or to pour out. Maybe if you find yourself in that season, maybe you need to kind of commit to having this inflow-outflow rhythm in your life and maybe begin to reprioritize your life a little bit. Instead of waiting to see if you have enough time and energy at the end of the day to fill up and pour out, maybe you need to reprioritize and do that first. do what we see Jesus did. He got up early while it was still dark and went away from everyone else so that he wasn't distracted, so that he could fill up with God. Maybe we need to start our day with that, to make sure that we do what's important first and not hope that we have enough time left over at the end of the day. Maybe you find yourself struggling with the fear and the doubt. You believe the lies that you're not good enough, that somebody else will be better at it than you, that you have nothing to offer, that you're not ready. Maybe one day I'll get there, but right now I'm just not quite ready. But you know what? God says that you are good enough. God says that you do have what's needed because He's the one that gave it to you. God can use you from the moment that you accept Him into your life. So you don't believe the lie that you have to grow or become mature enough to this point before you can be used, because God wants to use you right now to be poured out to other people. But you have to take the time to be filled up with Him so that you can be used by Him and be poured out. But maybe this morning you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You've never made the commitment to having this inflow, outflow rhythm of your life. And maybe you've experienced some of that same fear and doubt in your life too. You don't believe you're good enough. How could God love someone like me? Well, if you wait until you think you're good enough, if you wait until you think your life is in the right place, let me tell you, it'll never happen. Because there will always be something next that comes up that you're not good enough. Or how could God love me because of this? Listen, Romans 5:8, it says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't say that while we were still trying to figure things out, or it doesn't say that God waited for us to be perfect or to have it all figured out before He died for us. No, it says that while we were still messed up, while we were still trying to figure it all out, God went ahead and died for us because of His love for us. So if God is speaking to you this morning, which I believe that He is, I believe that God is speaking to each and every person in the room. It's just a matter of whether or not we're listening, whether or not we hear what God is saying to us. Because sometimes that fear, that doubt, that uncertainty can keep us from hearing what God is saying to us. But if you hear God's voice this morning, if you hear what God is saying to you, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to actually do what He's telling you to do. To do whatever you have to do to allow yourself to be filled up so that you can be poured out to people around you. So this morning, if you have questions, how does this work? Where do I go next? I don't even know what to do. I'll be up front. You can come talk to me. Archie will be around. We'd love to talk with you, chat with you, see what we can do to help you figure that out. Find us sometime during the week. We'd be happy to do that. Maybe this morning you're just saying, I need to commit to having that inflow, outflow rhythm in my life. I've been screwing that up. I've been pushing that off. I haven't been making that a priority, but today's the day I'm going to commit to that. Or maybe you just need to say, today's the day I'm going to commit to Jesus for the first time. I'm going to commit. I need an inflow, an outflow in my life, and today is the day that I'm going to do that. We have water, we have clothes, we have everything we need to make that happen. It's just a matter of what is God saying to you, and what are you going to do about that this morning? So why don't we stand as we sing together and respond to what God is telling us to do this morning.